Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone calls here on New Life Live. Glad you joined us today.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
Takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Sherry Denham. And guess what? In your town, we are doing the New Life, the race for New Life. If you will help us do it, we'll do it in your town. And all you have to do is go online and pay a $30 registration fee. Every race you run is a registration fee. It's $30. And it has to be done by the 17th. So this being the 14th, we're running out of time. And so you walk, run, crawl, or roll down a hill for 3.1 miles, 5K, and you get sponsorship from 10 people at $11 each, or 11 people at $10 each, and that pays for one day of local program in your area. That's the average cost. So please sign up, download the bib, and walk, run, crawl at your pace. It's going to be a fun thing, and we want pictures of you doing it and movies downloaded to the website of newlife.com. But come join us. You can also find out more about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-639-5433. I know this is going to be an amazing time for all of us. I want to go right to the phones with Jenny from Mexico City. She listens on Mexico Online. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Great.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You're welcome.
How can we help?
I don't know if you can hear me well.
It's breaking up a little bit.
Speak a little louder if you can, too. That'll help.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, speak a little louder and just ask us your question and we'll try to help you.
Okay, well, I'm married for 12 years already.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two kids. And so I'm just trying to find out if my husband may have some kind of sex addiction or something.
Has he been unfaithful to you?
I'm sorry?
Has he been unfaithful to you?
Yes. Actually, I found out 4 months ago already that he committed adultery.
Hmm. Okay.
So, for me, it's the thing that happened.
You know what? I am so sorry, but it's just too hard for us to hear you. So,
and maybe they can fix it off the air, or you can call back in and see if you get a better connection.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we only have a minute.
Landline.
But anyway, we'll try to get
Did
back
you
to
hear
her.
Enough to where we could try
her
to
Her husband
answer.
Had an affair, and she wants to know if he's a sex addict. Well, you know, maybe a more appropriate question at this stage would be, what do I do now that he's had an affair? Because whether he's a sex addict or not, he has definitely been unfaithful. So, we'll see. Hopefully we'll figure that out off the air. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number if you need some help. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. And the book we've been giving away to folks that support us is Mylon Kay's new book, How We Love Our Kids. It's much more about the adults than it is about the kids. And it's the follow-up to How We Love. Hope that you'll get that. And also, if you join Club New Life, there is a leather-bound life recovery Bible for you. We've had 150 people, new people, sign up for Club New Life. It's pretty exciting the way it's growing. So you come be a part of that growth. All right, we'll take a break and come back for the remainder of our program right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, and we're glad that you are.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I don't know if we can get back to her. We certainly will. Let's talk with Candace on line 4. If we can talk with Candace on line 4, if it's possible. Hold on here. Let's see if we can get Candace on line 4. There we go. Candace, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I've been wanting to talk to you guys for so, so long, and I listen to you every single day.
Okay.
And I don't want to be one of those persons where you say, give me the question, give me the question, give me
okay.
the question.
What is your question? Start with
right. My question
we
is...
We would rather you just talk a lot more about how much you like the show and how great all of the answers are.
I love your show. You guys are awesome. I listen to you all the time from morning. Jay Sekulow and Frank Pastore and you guys, all of you. I just love all of you guys. You're
thank you.
Awesome.
Okay,
you're
we're going to
so
make you caller of the day.
Yep, you're caller of the day. You
I'll
got it.
That. Thank you, because it's been a really rough day.
Okay, what happened? What's going on?
There's so much that has happened today. My question is it okay to ask my son to move out of my house? He's 27 years old. He's a grown man. He's healthy, strong. He works part-time. He's been working part-time at a restaurant for a very long time. He should own stock in it by now. I want him to go to school. He doesn't want to. I want him to go get another job. He doesn't want to. A full-time job. And he is not very helpful around the house. He's not consistent. He does, like, the minimum. I'm a huge people lover. I love people all ages. I do ministry at my church.
Does he pay rent?
He does.
He does?
He doesn't want to pay rent because he thinks I'm spending it on bonbons or getting my nails done. So he says, I'll pay bills.
What if you are? Whoa. Time out. What if you went to him and said, I need some rent because I want to go get some bonbons and get my nails done today?
I know.
How much rent does he pay?
It started at $200, and I know, that's peanuts, and I raised it to $3.
You know what I think, of course. I think he's a genius.
I know.
You know what? He doesn't have
struggling
any...
struggling with it for a while, and
opinion. Okay, here's the deal.
Really?
He just doesn't have any problems. He gets to work part-time and pay $200 rent when he wants to.
$300, she upped it.
Okay, so you see, you have a problem, but he doesn't have a problem.
I know.
And it's only going to change when he has a problem and you don't have one anymore. I mean, even your attitude, like Henry's pointing out, that you'd feel bad about buying bonbons. It's your money.
It's your money.
Okay. So.
Well, I have a question. I have a question.
Okay. Please ask me questions.
Okay, here's a question. How do you get in a spot where you're wondering if it's okay to tell your 27-year-old son that he needs to go out and pay his way in life? How do you get to that place?
I don't know. I guess because...
did you throw him out at 22 like it ought to be done? And then he fell on his face and became a drug addict and had to move back in?
I raised them since they were 2, 4, and 6, and they're all, grown now, over 20, and they're all, you know, really good kids, and I love them to pieces, and I think I love them too much, because then that's when I allow this kind of behavior. I mean, a good example that I can just tell you real quick is he, because they work with ministry and homeless clients, and so I've taken a couple under my wing and to help them out, and one of them who has been, I've been working with for a long time, kind of helps me around the house, and she's finally gotten a place to live, and she came over to help me clean the house because I have a mice infestation in my mm-hmm. house just in the past 4 or 5 days. So I'm mm-hmm. dealing with that. And I told him she's spending the night last night. And I said, she'll be here when you get home. And he said, if she's there, then I'm not paying the gas bill.
Okay,
and I said, are you kidding me?
Well,
you're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
I think it's time.
Okay.
What kind of chores does he have to do?
He is supposed to pick up the
food. I didn't ask what he's supposed to do. What does he do?
Pick up the trash.
What does he do?
He does that once in a while when he feels like it.
Okay.
I want to say one more thing, okay? I just want you to pretend like he's 5 years old.
Okay.
Okay? You don't treat a 5-year-old like you're treating him. If you have a 5-year-old, they have chores. They have to clear the table. They have to pick up their room. They have to scoop after the dog. This isn't even good
consistently
for children, much less a 27-year-old.
Okay.
Now, Candace.
I know.
Candace.
I just needed to hear it from y'all.
No, Candace, here's what I think you need to hear, okay?
Okay.
We want to move in your house. It's
a
good deal.
I have a history of being a people pleaser. Okay. And here's where I grew up from that was when I discovered that I wasn't pleasing people for them. I was doing it for me. That it was selfish what I was doing and overdoing. And I think when you are able to come to grips with you're not loving him, because loving him is launching him and giving him self-confidence, but you're loving yourself and you're doing what makes you feel comfortable, but it doesn't feel very comfortable.
Causing me too much stress. Are you kidding?
All right. But you're used to it, and you can't imagine this poor kid out on the street, can you?
No, I can, but I just don't know why it's taken me so long, and I guess maybe that's what you just said. It's just like, okay. Part of it's, you know, feeling guilty, and I'm thinking, feeling guilty for what? Because it's treating me poorly.
All right, let's just say this. Let's say this. If you were an alcoholic, you'd want to get a sponsor that would make sure that you're doing everything to stay sober. Let's say you're a sonaholic, okay? And you're dependent on this kid. You need somebody to partner with you to be consistent in your demands and not going back on the things that you are requiring.
Okay.
I don't think you have it in you right now to do it by yourself.
Well, the conversation is going to happen tonight, I think.
Yeah. Well, Candace, what Steve is actually pointing to is you said something that you take people under your wings.
Okay.
What he's inviting you into is to being a giver of wings.
Okay.
People cannot fly. They cannot giver of wings. I mean, they're not going to fly until you give them their wings.
Don't feed them fish. Teach them to fish.
Yes.
And
so,
make them rent the bait from you. Like, pay for it.
What? Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that last comment.
Make them rent the fishing poles and the bait from you when they have to go fish. In other words, you got to make people pay their way.
So somewhere along the way, there's a benefit you're holding on to this idea, and I'm going to take people in under my wings. But it's not serving you well, and it's keeping mm-hmm. other people grounded, stuck.
Okay.
All right. So you're on a new path to look at how you can become a giver of wings.
Okay.
Hey, I'm just curious. How much does he weigh?
He's a big boy. He's 6 foot and about 2 foot 40.
2 foot 40, 6 feet.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah. He's a big boy. My boys are big.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I am most thankful for in life when I think of my parents is as far back as I can remember, it probably had to do with school. My dad always told me two things. He said, son, you are going to college. It's already paid for. We've saved the money. It's waiting. What you have to do is you've got to study and do all your schoolwork so you can get in. That's number one. Number two, after you go to college, I'm done. You will not see another penny from me. And if you drop by, I might give you a sandwich. But at that point, don't come looking for anything because my job is over. And I knew that literally. It was sort of like a guiding structure in life. We used to laugh about it all the time. And when I look back and I think of, you know, all the things about parenting, this and the other, just that requirement to have to go do life is one of the best things parents can give kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to deal with his anger and disappointment over you being the mom that's kicking him out of the nest, okay? And you're going to need to find the support to hang on and to deal with those emotions and to not recoil.
And I've got a book for you. Necessary Endings should do the trick, but hopefully he'll be ended before the book gets to you. Angelica from Piscataway, New Jersey. How do you say that? You know, I just Piscataway.
Angelica
from how? Where?
Piscataway.
Okay, there's right there. All right. Hey, how can we help you today?
First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And also, I heard something on the radio. It was talking about a person, a young man. He said, you love me, you think I'm a great person to be around, but you don't know that I'm addicted to porn. And only if you knew what was going on inside my head. That happened to a person I know, but let me get to the question first. My question was, how do you move on from past hurts that happened like a year ago, but people around you saying, just move on, but they don't understand. And it's so easy for them to say, just move on.
Okay, Angelica, and I can't just move on from the first thing that you said. Can you go back to that and tell me what you were saying there in the beginning about pornography?
Oh, I know a person and they said...
You know a person, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it the same person?
Pornography.
Is it the same person you're talking about here?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so your boyfriend... has a
not my boyfriend.
Okay.
A friend.
Your friend has a pornography problem.
No, not a pornography problem. He said that to me. He said, like, I told him, I said, I think you're a great person to be around, and I love you, and stuff like that. He was like, you don't even know me. And I felt like that was the same thing that guy was trying to say in the commercial.
The guy was, okay, I see what you're saying. You don't know me. So you think the person that you're friends with has a pornography problem?
No, I think that they have the same issue. Like, they don't want people to love them because they don't know what's going inside their head, like the guy in the commercial said.
Okay. Now we're going to talk with you.
The point was what?
Yeah. What was the point on that?
The point was that I was in a friendship with someone, and I cared about them a lot, but it seemed like they cared in the beginning, and then towards the end, they showed me no care or whatever. So
you got rejected in a friendship?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened a year ago that you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so you're wondering how you overcome that?
Mm-hmm. Like, because they kept coming back, I kept coming back, and, like, the pain was still fresh because it kept going back and forth.
Okay, all right. Well, and so the question is, how do you overcome the bad thing that happened a year ago?
Yeah, because I never really got help at that time.
Okay.
I just brushed.
Okay. So. Now, do you have some girlfriends you go shopping with and things like that, or are you kind of isolated? Mm-hmm. You do?
Yeah, I do, but they got tired of hearing about it.
They got and so they're not around anymore?
They're still around.
Yeah. Okay. Because it sounds like to me you need some support here and some help, some other people to help you kind of get through this, huh?
Yeah, and I talked to my mom. She said, I don't know what to say, so.
Well, let me just give you a couple of, you know, draw some circles on a sheet of paper, and here's a few things to think about. One circle would just be good old-fashioned loss and grief. You know, mm-hmm. when we lose a friend or lose somebody we're close to, or we get rejected, then that's just a sad thing. That's why God put tear ducts under your eyes and not under your armpits, because under your eyes means you have to be weeping with somebody while you're weeping. They mm-hmm. can see in your eyes and see in your soul. And so you sit down, you cry that out instead of hiding it with antiperspirant under your arms mm-hmm. where nobody will see it. So you got to cry with somebody. But the other two circles are when we suffer something like that, you've got to look at what does it do about my view of me? Did this land in a place in my heart and soul where it makes me feel like I'm unlovable and unwantable, and it altered my view of myself? And the third circle is, what did it make me feel or think about my view of others? Has it been tainted now? Others are trustworthy. Others will leave me. Others, you know, aren't worth investing in. And when those things start to happen, those are lies that were generalized from an experience, but they can distort your future. So I would seek, you know, some insight in all three of those.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with New Life Live. Let's go to Millie, who watches on FamilyNet from New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Millie.
First, I'd like to say I really enjoy your program. I have your books, Boundaries, and Healing is a Choice. Boundaries has really helped me. My question is this. I seem to have an obsessive personality. I give to people, and even if they abuse me, I didn't want to cry. Even if they're abusive, I still give them. And sometimes when I do it, it's like in excess. I started just for whatever reason, keeping a list of all the things that I give, and it just seems like sometimes on my calendar there might be maybe 10 or 12 people per month that I will neglect getting anything from me to give to them because I really want some form of recognition, or I want them to like me. And when I'm rejected, it tears me apart, and how they reject me, and I've had it continuously all my life, is not speak to me, ignore me, or just say things about me.
Mm. Well, what's your question for us? We really want to help you.
My question is, how can I overcome the obsession that I have of buying people's friendship and trying to get them to like me?
Mm. Okay.
Well, what if you got into a setting, first of all, where you weren't at risk? You know, one of the things that happens in a good growth environment, like a good therapy group or a good support group or something like that, is there's this circle that exists of people that come together for the purpose of growing. So you don't have to earn their friendship, and there's no risk in terms of, you know, whether they're going to show up or not. And then in that, you begin to share with each other and you begin to learn about your life, and you have kind of a home base to work out from. Instead of everybody in your life being kind of at risk.
I'm a recovering alcoholic. I had attended groups in AA. I've been in recovery now. I have recovered for like 28 years, 29. I did stop going to AA and started more in the church.
Okay, hold on one second. The kind of group I'm talking about that would be a little different than AA, because in AA, it's designed for a specific purpose. And one of the rules, as you know, in AA or other 12-step groups, is it's not a place where you have what they call crosstalk, where, you know, you share and you get feedback and you get people's opinions and how you're coming across and et cetera, et cetera. And so sometimes when we want to change relational patterns, a different kind of group than a recovery group is very helpful, because you get grounded, but you also get feedback.
Well, I would be more than willing to go anywhere just to overcome this sadness and the pain that I feel inside of me.
Well, that's a great, great attitude. If you would be willing, you know, I bet you, we could let somebody talk to you off the air and we could refer you to some.
Okay.
But here's one of the big problems I think that we can make in life in general. And this would be true if somebody's out there dating or trying to do friendship or trying to start a career or anything. If we're starting from sort of a deficit, a vacuum, then every sales call or every potential date or every church we visit or every person we meet, that's a life or death, you know, acceptance or rejection. You feel like you have to have that one. But if you're starting from a place where you're grounded and you know you have a home base and you know that you're plugged in and cared about, then you can work out from there, and each individual scenario becomes something for you to evaluate and something to see if it meets your needs or not, instead of you're being judged by them. And that's a very different way to live.
I would love to belong to a group like that. Any place, I will go anywhere, and I will do anything to be better.
Well, you know what? With an attitude like that, what the Bible says is you'll get better.
Do you know what I'm doing, Millie, right now? I
no.
have 9 trauma survivors that are in a group right now, and I'm teaching them how to do safe crosstalk. The same group rules we have on our New Life weekends, I'm teaching them how to do with one another. And they are speaking truth to one another. They're learning how to do it, and they're learning how to hear it from another person. Because my guess with you is you were abused deeply.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was abused mentally, physically, and sexually repeatedly.
Yeah. And those are deep, deep wounds that need some tender, tender healing applied to it. Okay?
Yeah, because it keeps coming up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm no chippy. I'm 69 years old, and it just seems to me I only feel safe when I'm alone. When I'm by myself, I'm fine. As soon as I get around people, I start this thing again. Oh, I'll give you this, or would you like that, or would you, you know, and it just goes on and on and on, and I don't know how to make it stop.
Well, because somewhere in your past, you wired in the belief that I'm unlovable, that I'm not worthy. And so you're trying to buy their love with your gifts.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, dear one, until you begin to face the lie that you believed a long time ago as a little girl that was afraid that I'm unlovable, and I'm unworthy of care, you're going to continue to do that same behavior. You need to confront.
Is your group anywhere near me?
Well, we'll find one for you there off the air. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm really glad you called.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the clock. I have 15 seconds to say this in. I'll never forget this group that I was doing one day at the hospital. And this lady stood up and she said, I am going to change my life. I'm tired of my mother controlling my life. I'm going to end it. It'll not be this way. And I'm 68 years old.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuta that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Sherry Denham, and I want to go over here and talk with Elizabeth from Pensacola, Florida. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to New Life. WEGS is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how are you all?
We're doing well. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I'm going to try and just ask the question right off the bat, or I'll start talking in circles. All right?
You may be caller of the day.
Sometimes Henry points out circles. Sometimes he talks and gives answers in circles.
Okay,
so this could be a good marriage.
No circles today.
Well, I'm going to try not to give you 10 years worth of stuff, okay, and just get to the question. And basically, it's a two-part question.
Okay.
One of them is, I've read the books, you know, like How We Love, let's see, Five Love Languages, Boundaries of Marriage. I have the Life Recovery Bible. My problem is I kind of burn through them real fast and don't answer all the questions in between the chapters, you know, so I need to go back and reread them. But I have found out, and from what I could gather, I'm a vacillator, and I need to find out what's some sort of happy medium between the quills and turning over on your belly and being vulnerable, because I'm married to a compulsive gambler, and basically, when I get vulnerable, it just puts me in the position to pretty much get my heart ripped out again, you know. And the other part of the question, and I don't know if you'll quite understand this, but the other part is it healthy to somewhat detach from yourself or split off from yourself and describe how you're feeling kind of in the third person, which is kind of a coping mechanism I guess we found.
Okay.
I have no idea if you understand these.
Well, it depends. It depends on what that's in the service of. If you do that in the service of not ever feeling, you know, what you're feeling, or making it available to someone else, then no, that's pathology. But if you're doing it in the service of, okay, I'm going to put my feelings over here for a second, and I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to describe them, and I'm not going to be engulfed by them and overwhelmed by them, then you're in an observing them mode, and that's actually serving a working through process, and that's very different.
Okay, well, that's what I think we were doing. Because basically, I could just say, have you ever seen an old Star Trek show when they're reliving the same scenario over and over and over again, and it's like they had to try and figure out something different, some different way to handle it, and so they try something different, and basically always blow up in the end, and they got to figure out something different. I guess insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over again.
You're talking about Groundhog Day, or are you talking about Star Trek?
Somewhat like that.
I think you're talking about the unawakened life is what you're talking about.
Right. In my marriage, dealing with the compulsive gambling, we've been going through the same loop over and over and over again for 10 years now.
Right.
So he's not in recovery. He's not in recovery, right?
No, he's in total denial. Uh-huh. Total denial still to this day. And basically, what I'm talking about, the splitting off, I thought I finally found a way to get out of the loop and do something different, you know? And basically what we were doing was describing ourselves as if in the third person. Yeah. And we actually got a lot of things resolved for about 1 week because he would say, like, he feels this way. You know, maybe he did this because this happened in his childhood, and he actually dealt with a lot
of
things.
Good. Yeah,
that's what I was talking about. You did it in the service of the two of you being able to get closer.
But I got a question for you. Well, I got a question. What's the best thing about being married to a compulsive gambler?
When it comes up red?
What is the best thing? What's the best thing about being married to a guy like that?
That's a good question, honestly. Because, you know, and if you're getting at, why am I still with them?
No. I just want to know, what is the best thing about being married to a compulsive gambler?
You know, I really can't name much, honestly.
You could probably name the worst thing. You probably name the worst thing, right?
Right.
The worst thing would be what?
Basically living in constant quiet chaos, why no one realizes what's going on, because it's not the same as a drug addiction, but it is.
Uh-huh.
And you grew up in a home where there was a lot of chaos, didn't you?
Well, I wouldn't say it's chaos. My home, you know, my military family, my mom was somewhat distant, you know, because I think she was abused, and my father was somewhat critical, but more like in the sarcastic, joking way, you know, and a little bit overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
but I don't know if I would call it chaotic, though.
Hey, what if the best thing about being married to a compulsive gambler in denial, what if the best thing was it's better than nothing?
Oh, my gosh. Funny you would say that, because that's why I lost it today, because that's what he kept saying to me, is at least it's better than nothing or something to that effect.
Well, you know, when your standard is nothing, you're looking up to the bottom of a rug. I mean, you're pretty low when the best you can come up with is it's better than nothing.
Right.
Okay, so
that's the best he can come up with. It's unacceptable to me, though.
What is your question?
The question is, okay, the thing is that we've, you know, just last week we started doing the detaching thing and discussing things in the third person, and it really worked. For 1 week, it was like all of a sudden we were like, the whole thing was fresh. The whole past was over, starting over again fresh, you know, able to detach from all the shame, guilt, pain, you know, everything. And we did that for 1 week, and then he slipped back.
Right.
And me being, you know, back in the same loop.
Question.
That we've gone over and over again, I was vulnerable, and it hurts 5,000 times worse every time.
Right.
So what is the question? How to not be vulnerable?
Well, the fine line between being, when she was, remember she talked about vacillator, porcupine quill?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you're trying
to be vulnerable.
You're trying to be vulnerable with a man who's unsafe emotionally.
He's going
right
to
now.
Rip my heart out again.
Right.
Yes.
So my question is, Elizabeth, why are you doing that? Are you okay with that? Why are you tolerating
this? I am not
this?
Okay with that.
Okay, but
my
you
position,
are. You're staying with him. What? How are you getting help, getting distance, getting into recovery? To keep going back and showing your belly, right? Vulnerability does beget vulnerability, but only when you're with a safe person. If you go belly up and they're not healthy, you're going to feel sucker punched right in the stomach.
Right.
That's your first clue that this is not a safe person. I need to go find what it feels like to be with some safe people that I can be vulnerable with and can bring my heart to. And where is that?
I'm in Codependence Anonymous right now.
Okay, that's good.
For how long?
For how long? I've been listening to you guys for a while, but the reason why I'm still here.
Wait a minute. How long have you been in codependency recovery?
I think I'm going up on 6 months right now.
All right. Now, when you go to them and you tell them what you just did, what do you learn there? What would they say?
You mean about the detaching or being invulnerable again?
Well, yeah, about his problem and how you're going to relate to his problem.
Well, basically, I'm supposed to basically change what I can and accept what I can't change.
Right. And so one of the things that you can change are the ways that you're enabling this, right?
Right.
You're still participating. You're making things available to him that he can gamble away and lose.
I'm actually not. Seriously, that's the thing. That's what, at the same time I got married to him was the same time I was becoming a Christian. So I was kind of codependent, but kind of getting into God, which actually helps change a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm still with him is because when I married him, he had 5 kids, I had 2 kids, and yes, I was codependent. I probably married him. Maybe it was pity, or maybe I thought that, you know, it would make him happy.
Yeah.
But it was all my credit, all my income, and I put his name on my house.
Yeah.
And see, basically right now, I mean, I've been holding on trying to get him.
Well, here's what I think. You have felt like you were going to figure this out, and some little technique like talking in third person was going to beat the addiction. But the addiction is over there in the next room working out. Every time you think this thing is going to beat it, it's working out, getting stronger. And you're never going to beat it.
No.
No, I mean it. You're never going to outplay, overpower this addiction or the compulsion that he has.
Right.
So have you ever stepped away from the relationship for a period of time so that he could work on his addiction?
Well, that's actually what we've been doing, except the position I'm in, we have to be separated in the same home, which is the equivalent of trying to quit smoking with smoke in your face, basically. You know, but my position is I went to an attorney today to talk to him about bankruptcy, and I can't even file bankruptcy. I can't even get a job. I can't do anything right now because everything's in my name and, you know, going to get everything garnished.
Yeah, but have you required for him to get into recovery?
Right now he's in counseling, and basically what I was telling him today, it came to the thing that he at least has to do something to safeguard the finances and be accountable and shine light in it so other people can see it, and that's what I'm trying to require of him now, but that's where I'm at. Right now I'm ready to just run and forget it.
You might want to put some locks on the doorknobs first before you run. And have him be outside for a little while to see what it's going to feel like to not have you.
And, you know, kind of with this, if he's going to a counselor to overpower the addiction, well, the addiction's going to a counselor, too, to figure out how to overpower that. I mean, it just can't be done. He needs recovery. He needs to get in a group with other guys struggling like he is.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Sherry Denham and Henry Cloud. We want to follow up with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You had a couple of things
well,
you wanted to say.
You know what, Elizabeth? Your husband is not in pain. And until somebody gets in enough pain that they feel the bottom, they're hurting, they don't get help. Especially someone who's steeped with addiction, right? So something needs to happen in your life, a bold move. You know, we talk a lot about that on the radio, and sometimes it's a woman stepping out of the relationship because there is so much addiction, so much abuse, and their partner is not willing to get the help. But once the woman steps away for the purpose of healing and does not let them back in until they're several months into their sobriety, things change then. So I'm suggesting something that strong.
Right. Okay. I'm going to send you Boundaries in Marriage. I hope that that will help you. I hope you'll read that. And just sorry you're going through this, but hope that something we've said will help you make that bold move. Our final caller is Teresa from Vallejo, California. KFIA is the station. Hello, Teresa. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate you guys more
sure.
than you'll know.
Well, thank you. How could we help you?
Is it wise to kick my almost 18-year-old son out when he turns 18?
What have you tried before?
Calling the police multiple times.
Why do you call the police? What's he doing?
Stealing, drug use, out past curfew. Drunk in public. He was in residential 12-step treatment for 9 months. Returned. Same issues.
Okay.
Amping up. He's on probation. I do Celebrate Recovery in Al-Anon.
Where's the dad?
He has a dad is in his own addiction. My son used to live half-time with dad, half-time with me, but because he stole from his father, he was kicked out.
Mm. So, what about trying to get him back into treatment?
Our health plan won't take him because he refuses to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've, suggested that to him, and he won't go.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, it's gone to the point where I've taken him places, and then he's run away.
And you take him back in?
No, I mean, he's bigger than me. I can't muscle him any place, and I don't get into tussles like that.
No, but I mean, then you bring him back into the home?
Yeah, because legally I have to.
Mm-hmm. When does he turn 18?
In a month and a half.
Month and a half. Well, if you're going to do that, I would sure tell him.
Oh, he knows.
Okay.
He knows the criteria are very specific.
But I'd tell him, there's an alternative here, and let's try to go down that path.
Yeah, and I've told him that, too.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. Does he knows include not using while
yes,
he's in
he knows
home?
That he would have to provide me urine mm-hmm. once a week. I got the drug tests. The problem is I hate to get into, I came home today and he and his friend fleed the house and there's marijuana on my floor.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think it all got messed up? How old was
he? I think when he was six when we divorced
mm-hmm.
and, there, it's been difficult between his father and me, just wanting to be, who's going to be the favorite parent.
Mm.
And mm. I've always been the stable one, the, you know, the mm-hmm. one that goes to work and does church and recovery, and I'm also, you know, the Nazi parent.
Yeah.
Teresa, I'm so sorry about the pain. I just want you to know you must feel so squeezed between your husband and your son's addiction. And
yeah.
Just really sorry about the ache. It really does sound like you've been making very good choices to try to get him help. And sometimes people reject it.
And I think he's going to have to feel more pain than he currently does. Mm.
It sounds like he might.
And he won't look for a job. He sits at home all day. He finished high school online, so he's just kind of hanging out. And I can't even kick him out of the house during the day. The police have said you don't really have the right to lock him out of your house.
Well,
and to be honest with you, it's a real, real difficult to try to get this kid out of the house before I go to work.
Yeah.
What is his stance towards you when you talk to him?
It depends on if he's sober or not. You know, it's kind of like the victim-abuser relationship. I'm sorry, Mom. I love you. You know, and half the time when he says, I love you, Mom, I wait for the shoe to drop and, you know, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped asking that question. It really makes him angry.
What does he do when he's on the other shoe? If he's not saying, I love you, what is he doing?
He cusses, he throws things, does property damage.
And he still has all the privileges and all the goodies and access to everything?
He has access to the computer once in a while. He does not have a phone, he does not have a car. He does not have, I mean, he has a roof and he's got, you know, food in the refrigerator.
Well, I hate to say that you're, you know, let's kick the kid out, but it seems like to me that you're going to have to make him feel more pain, and it seems like to me that may be the only option that you have left.
He's choosing it though, right?
Yeah.
He's choosing. You set up guidelines, and at 18 he knows, you've had the conversation, but if he chooses to still use, then he is choosing the consequence, which is I'm out on my own and I'm going to have to figure it out.
Yeah,
I'm right. And I know the police said that you can't apparently put him out, but if he's doing illegal things and there's property damage and all sorts of stuff like that, you probably have more options for bringing in some limits and consequences here than you might be aware of. And you might want to talk to, you know, a good family attorney about that, or somebody that's involved in that whole system that knows really, you know, what kind of choices you have. Because it sounds like you feel held a little hostage in your own home, which you don't really have to be in the position of.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm really sorry to hear what you're going through. And I hope and pray that the book Necessary Endings will help you with dealing with this. And that's on its way to you. We have about 900 Christian counselors across the country. We'd like to refer to you one sooner than later, because you don't want to end up at a place with yourself or the kids where this is the only option that's there. We also have these weekend workshops, these intensives such as Every Man's Battle. Sherry Denham's going to be doing Wives in the Battle in September. Lose It for Life at the end of the year. In May, our Marriage Weekend. That's going to be amazing. And then our other Transformation New Life Weekend. Really want you to change your life and transform, and these are the most powerful things that we've ever found. So I hope you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. You can find out about our trip to Israel. It's going to be a great time, June 6th through 16th. And then also, don't forget that you can be part of the Race for New Life. All you have to do is download this little bib and get out there and cover the ground of 5K and get some supporters. It will help us. It will help keep us on the air, which we desperately need. If you join Club New Life, you're part of a growing family. We'll send you a leather-bound Life Recovery Bible. All of the resources we talk about here are available at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Dr. Henry Cloud. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Denham. And thanks to all of you that listen or watch and those that support us. We really appreciate you. And we're going to be praying for you in the morning right here at New Life, because that's what we do. And we love you, and we care about you, and we want things to be better. We want you to live the blessed life, and sometimes it's pretty tough to get there. We want to help you find that path. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.